I am as fond of beauty spas as I am of being flayed alive with barbed wire. But Anuska was going to Champneys for a few days to recover from the news of Darius's near-death experience. I'm so sorry.
Me too, she'd sobbed. He lived! How could anyone survive Srebrenica?
And the loyal, long-suffering Kate had given me a few days off to mourn for the drummer. I didn't tell her I'd booked in for a boobin' move job. Champneys is a luxurious health farm full to bursting with elephantine Saudi princesses bobbing about in the indoor pool, detoxing soap stars, and a depressingly large number of newly divorced matrons, getting in shape before heading back out into the marriage market. After the customary bale of hay for lunch, we were pounced upon by broad-shouldered Amazonian therapists brandishing colonic irrigation nozzles. Opting for something less gothic, I was counseled to apply aluminium oxide to my neck through a disposable syringe and advised to have an urgent consultation on cosmetic enhancement. What? Like leg lengthening? My main problem is that I'm 5'3". I was also instructed to inject purified botulism to inhibit muscle movement and so stop me from frowning. I'm frowning because I can't believe what a moron you'd have to be to do that. An hour later, a microcurrent facial toning machine had me down to about 2 double chins. Add a marine algae skin peel and my face would soon be too small for my hair. I was saved for the shrinkage by the apparition of a seaweed-wrapped Anushka with one half-tweezed eyebrow bursting into my therapy room. I levered myself up onto one elbow. What's the matter?
I was just having my eyebrows arched.
Why bother, Annie? You're English. They arched at birth.
When Julian walked by,
I sat bolt upright.
Julian? Here? He hates exercise nearly as much as he hates wealthy, pampered people. And he's not alone. He's booked into a double room with his wife.
I fell off the treatment table, grabbed a robe and staggered after her, somewhat burdened by the discovery that 2 tubs of avocado face rehydration mud weigh more than I do. When I barged into room 32 on the East Wing, the first words out of my mouth were, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" Although seeing my best friend's legs wrapped around my husband's ears, like the ends of a stethoscope, should have given me a vague indication. Kate and Julian unsuctioned their faces from each other's groins and catapulted off the bed.
"What the fuck are you doing?" I screamed at Julian. "You loathe Kate!"
Would you believe airing our differences?
He shrugged on a fluffy white gown. The shock was physical as well as mental. I felt the pain of it jackknife through my body. Kate's eyes scurried like mice back and forth across the carpet. She groped for her spectacles.
Do you want to have your last words now, or save it for your epitaph?
I lunged at her, but Julian restrained me.
If she disappears without trace, people will notice, he said calmly. Particularly me.
Well then, you'd better get her into some kind of MI5 relocation program for adulterous best friends. And soon. How could you?
I yelled at her.
There are some things a feminist should never ever do. And not sleeping with your best friend's husband is about 100 of them. Besides which you loathe each other. You always have. Platonic friendship, said Julian, struggling to keep hold of me as I fought furiously.
It's the gun you didn't realize was loaded.
Anyway, it's your fault,
Kate whimpered, shrouding herself in a blanket.
You're the one who made me go and see Julian on your behalf. And, well, then I've got to know him better, and
she faltered.
You told me you could read him like a book, but I didn't expect you to thumb the goddamn pages. And what the hell is that on your tits?
What?
She glanced down.
Oh, nipple rouge,
she said, too shell-shocked to sham.
Nipple rouge? I reeled back in astonishment. You didn't even wear a bra until last week.
I followed the seam of her stocking to its erotic conclusion, and a pair of shimmeringly shiny patent leather follow-me-home-and-fuck-me's.
I thought you said high heels to humanize women.
Breaking free of Julian's grasp, I rummaged through the tangled sheets looking for other signs of Kate's hypocrisy. She scurried up the bed away from me.
It can be a sign of female empowerment, too,
she tentatively rallied. Finding the his and her leopard skin lederhosen beneath the pillows, I uttered the kind of long, loud groan, which in these surroundings would have been instantly mistaken for a post-enema high. Passing therapists would have been giving each other smug, congratulatory beams. Lederhosen? I told you about the lederhosen, you... Oh, my God! You just pretended to be my friend in order to glean that sort of inside information so you could steal my husband. Oh, no, no, this is not in the best friend charter. I lunged at her again. This is a breach of the besties code. This is best friend divorce.
Oh, the D word.
Julian twisted one arm up behind my back and spun me around to face him.
You may have forgotten, but we are about to divorce at your instigation.
The robe I'd flung on in the therapy room gaped open. Julian glanced at my naked form without a flicker of interest. I'm not kidding. The guy mentally dressed me.
Kate and I are not doing anything wrong. Nothing at all. That's your department. Now kindly get out of our room or I'll call security and have you removed.
Removed? What am I? A melanoma?
I lashed out at Kate again.
I'm still his wife, goddammit!
Kate howled as my foot made contact with her shin. Her shaved shin.
You shaved your legs? I don't fucking believe it! Get out!
There was a steeliness in Julian's blue eyes that I'd never seen outside the cot room.
Or I'll have you arrested for unlawful wounding and a fray.
He placed a protective arm around Kate, who'd uncharacteristically retreated.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you, Becky, but I knew you'd go ballistic. The thing is, Jules was so vulnerable, thanks to the way you treated him, and, well, things just sort of escalated. We didn't mean to fall in...
She pulled up short. A clot of dread rose in my throat.
Love? You and Julian? Oh, excuse me while I wipe the tears of laughter out of my eyes.
It's true,
said Julian calmly.
Kate is everything you're not. She's reliable, unselfish, honest.
Honest? Oh, I thought you were being kind. Give me all that time off. But you just wanted to get me out of the way. Exactly when did this...
I didn't know what to call it.
How long?
I demanded.
New Year's Eve, actually.
Julian said in measured, even tones.
New Year's Eve?
Take knife. Plunge into heart. Twist. The streamers? The silk pajamas? Kate's party refusal? A frightened, disbelieving laugh heaved out of my chest. Oh, this was a Kodak moment if ever there was one.
Look on the positive side, Kate said appeasingly. Finally, it's me doing something irresponsible and completely bloody insane.
I caught sight of my reflection in the hotel mirror. I'd forgotten about the algae mask. My face was bright Martian green, my skull encased in a Mrs. Norman Bates hairnet. Globs of avocado neck wrap were sliding dismally down onto my chest.
But I thought you loved me.
It'll be hell surviving without you, Rebecca.
Julian jostled me towards the door.
But let me give it a go.
Becky!
Kate scrambled for her vest.
We can get past this, mate, we can! You're the one who told me to get a man!
Sure, I wanted you to get laid,
but not by my own husband!
I'm not yours. You sent me back, remember? Let's spend some time together really soon.
Julian continued mercilessly.
Have a nice century.
And with that, he shoved me unceremoniously out the door, slamming it in my face.
Let me go order you a colonic irrigation, Kate! With cement!
I screeched, pounding my fists on the door. At the approach of two evangelistic therapists with that aggressive behavior indicates you need a good purging look in their eyes, I allowed Anushka, who'd been hovering helplessly in the doorway, to pilot me into the dining room.
Look on the bright side, she said. Brilliant karma points.
In a daze, I sat down amongst the honed and toned healthy people. Their high-tech, all-in-one tracksuits and complicated air-cushioned training shoes with self-cleaning tread patterns gave them the look of Captain Kirk's crew.
My algae green face pack made me the alien on planet Betrayal, with Kate the Klingon on my starboard bow. This was definitely the downside of love affairs. I'd been so busy being duplicitous that I failed to notice my husband cheating on me. I failed to notice my best friend cheating on me, too. Kate's treachery, utterly at odds with my deepest expectations, was cataclysmic. Girlfriends are supposed to get you through the tough times, not contribute to them. God! My best friend had run away with my husband, and I missed her awfully already. Anushka, in an effort to distract me, rabbited on about how, from now on, she was only booking Darius on dodgy airlines, anything Colombian to Honduras, and absolutely anywhere mountains ring the runway. Terminals must be so called for a reason, right, doll? I nibbled on a salad valued at $20 per leaf and absorbed the full impact of what I'd lost. It hit me like a body blow. Caden Julian. Oh, lust had found a new sewerage outlet. I'd sent her to provide comfort, and she'd promptly melted him in the warmth of her sympathy. It was like buying someone a lottery ticket as a present, only for it to win. With a sickening jolt, I realized that I wanted my husband back. I didn't know what had got into me. Oh, yes, I did. 10 throbbing inches. But I was now living with the fixtures of an outgrown fantasy. My heart contracted. I still loved Julian. I'd made the terrible mistake of looking at our marriage through the fog of habit, only to find myself now missing his hypochondria, his opera addiction, his mother, the way he sucked on the end of his pen, the way he never, ever ate his crust. I even missed his vocabulary, for Christ's sake. But it was useless. Romantically, I vanished from his emotional radar. But red-eyed remorse was not enough to get him back. I would have to try much harder than that. Calling for double cream for my coffee, and slathering butter onto a bread roll with a sacrilegious fervor that caused audible gasps of dismay from the dieting diners, I vowed to win him back, fair and square, even if I had to cheat to do so.